Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Forgetting my own last name, that's really pathetic. Welcome to A Seeking Heart. Let's try this again. Take two. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media, recorded live Mondays, 12:30 p.m., right here on Facebook Live. Yay, Facebook Live. Wow, 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 wow. What a weekend my family had. My husband became a deacon this weekend, so they're officially, I am a deacon's wife. It's kind of crazy. 20 years of discernment, 20 years of deciding, 5 years of study, and we're done. We're here. He was ordained Saturday morning, had his first Mass, his Mass of Thanksgiving on Sunday. It's pretty amazing stuff. I feel pretty blessed, ridiculously blessed, honestly, to have this honor of being a deacon's wife and to, oh gosh, I'm just so proud of him. It was, and the whole weekend went remarkable, like perfect. And I have to laugh because, so I have this novena that I do to St. Therese. It's a 5-day novena. I have ADD. I do the short version. And it's one of those novenas that's like really been a fail-safe for us. Like we've been just really blessed with this novena, and especially for travel. I do it a lot when I travel for health and safety. And so I did, hi Elizabeth, I did the 5-day novena. You do it before 11 o'clock. You just say 5 Our Fathers, 5 Hail Marys, and 5 Glory Bees, and this little prayer to St. Therese. And I did it for all 5 of us in the family. I got 5 different purple roses. Like, this is great. The day I finished the novena, 3 of us came down with really nasty colds. And as you can tell from my voice, still kind of getting over it. But hey, here's the brilliance of St. Therese is that it was 7 days later when we had the ordination. So we were all well and good for the ordination. A little stuffy a little bit, but little funny voices. But all in all, healthy. So no throwing up, which is always my worst fear, right? The throwing up bug. You can kind of get away going out somewhere with a little bit of cold, but throwing up bug, you can't go nowhere. So thank you, St. Therese. Thank you, Blessed Mother, for your intercession. Thanks to everybody for their prayer and their support of Kevin. I love the sign. The sign language for support, it is 2 fists and 1 bumps the other, like lifting it up, supporting it. I just really love that sign for support. Hi, Emily. Saying, hey, lady, you look awesome. Thank you. You're very kind, if I may say so. Oh, you may. You may say it anytime you like. It's time for me to make dinner in Italy. Oh, I'm starving. I haven't had lunch. I wish we were close. Praying for you and we'll watch it. Just wanted to say hello. I'm so glad you did, Emily. I miss you. I follow all your adventures in Italy. You are really an inspiration in the vocation of wife, following your husband there and just making the best of it, making more than just the best of it. So thank you, Emily, for popping in. And I really highly recommend, if you're not already following Emily Davis on social media, do so. She's a superstar. So today, besides being ever so excited that to announce that Kevin, Reverend Deacon Kevin Gingras, now exists in the world, that was the part, you know, I have to say, that was the part that was the most shocking to me. I don't know, I have, for some reason, I'm like, Deacon, I can, Deacon, that's cool. But when we had friends at the church, Deacon Bob, Craig, and his wife made Kevin cards, little, he calls them his rookie cards, cracks me up. And it had St. Joseph with the baby Jesus on the front, and then the back it said Reverend Deacon Kevin Gingras. And when I saw the Reverend part, I was like, what? Whoa. Right. This is legit. This is big time. This is the big time. Hi, Marsha. The ordination was beautiful. Congratulations to Deacon Kevin. Thank you. Marsha's also a deacon's wife. I call mine Deacon Honey. It's very cute. We've been calling him the Rev. Or Deke, my friend Kathy Colgan calls him the Deke. We were going to call him Rev Kev, but one of my good friends, Father Kevin Lever, goes by Rev Kev, and it just seemed to fit him better. But at the first Mass, it was very funny. At the first Mass, or the Mass of Thanksgiving, as it's called, there was Deacon Kevin and two Father Kevins. We were totally over Kevin'd. I would say Father Kevin, and both of them would go, what? I'm like, oh, no, I wanted this one or I wanted that one. I always knew which one I meant. They were confused, but I wasn't. I knew exactly who I was talking to. So today, for Seeking Heart, this week our book is Our Lady of Charity, How a Cuban Devotion to Mary Helped Me, Maria Johnson, Grow in Faith and Love, Maria Johnson. There I go. Maria. We're going to have some really bad Spanish happening. Luckily, she will be here Thursday, and she'll give you really good Spanish and really great English. Maria is a very dear and personal friend of mine, so I'm really happy to bring you her third book, Woman is a Superstar. She's also the author of the badass Book of Saints and Supergirls and Halos. And Maria was really instrumental in helping me get the gift of invitation complete. She really was behind the scenes helping me with some edits and encouraging me and teaching me. She's a teacher of English by trade, and she's fantastic at it. And even though I have a degree in English, I still needed some extra help. And Maria was that support and that help and that guidance and that instruction, really the instruction that I needed, because, well, I'm a hot mess, and especially when it comes to English, though I have since discovered Grammarly, which is like having Maria Johnson in your back pocket or in your computer, as the case may be. So we're going to talk a little bit about the themes from Our Lady of Charity. Now, I don't want to go too far into the actual story, because this is a memoir of sorts, and I really want the stories to come from Maria on Thursday. She'll be joining me here Thursday morning, May, let's see, this is the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, May 23rd at 9 a.m. live on Facebook, Reconciled to You on Facebook. And then that course will always be available afterwards as a podcast through the amazing Breadbox Media Podcasting Network, breadboxmedia.com for more amazing podcasts. And also, mark your calendars if you are, I'm going to say this out loud and then I'm going to forget what it is. Let me see if my calendar will pull up. If you are in Pennsylvania, not Lancaster, where are we going? We are going to somewhere in Pennsylvania. It's how I roll. I'm so good at this stuff. So Breadbox Media is going to have its first conference, and it is going to be in on August 24th. The keynote speaker, the only speaker of the day, is Scott Hahn, and it will be in somewhere. I'll have the information. I'll put a link here. Pete's going to kill me. I don't remember where it is. Isn't that funny? Well, it's not really. I mean, it's very much Allison's brain. I know where he lives, but I'm not really sure exactly. I was there last year speaking at this in this area, and now this year I get to go back and help with the conference, and I'm so excited because, well, even though I think Scott Hahn is brilliant and I don't always understand what he's teaching, I do find him just always educational, and what a heart for God. Anyway, my computer's decided it doesn't want to show me where it is. Well, I know we're going to talk about this book and the themes that are in it. And I know that you're going to be, you don't have to, you know, when we do, as you know, Seeking Heart has come back to do books again. I'm going to be focusing again on books, but you never have to actually have read the book when I speak, especially because we're just going to talk about the themes in the book. You know, good Catholic books should incite discussion. You know, they should inspire in you how you personally can grow closer to God. So our talks here at Seeking Heart are always going to be conversational. It is in New Oxford, which is where I thought we were going, but not wasn't positive. So New Oxford, PA, I'll put the link right here, and I'll put it in the show notes. Don't miss this if you are anywhere near New Oxford, Pennsylvania. Wonderful conference. Redbox Media Conference with Scott Hahn. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit of the background of the book, and then we'll jump into the themes. So Maria talks about Our Lady of Charity is not a, the origin of the devotion of Our Lady of Charity in Cuba comes from a 7th century story of three men who tossed about at sea during a violent storm. They prayed to Mary for her protection, and the storm suddenly disappeared. They found a statue of the Blessed Mother holding Jesus and a gold cross floating in the water. The statue included the inscription, "I am the Virgin of Charity." The statue was completely dry. Isn't that neat? I think that's so cool. As it floated in the water. Our Lady of Charity is not a church-approved apparition. Nevertheless, several popes, including John Paul II and Pope Francis, who celebrated Mass at her shrine during his visit in Cuba in 2015, have supported devotion to our Blessed Mother under this title. Maria Johnson is a best-selling author, as I told you, of Badass Book of Saints and Supergirls and Halos, and she traces the story, the history of Our Lady of Charity in Cuba, and how the devotion was spread by immigrants as they left the country, as they left their country behind. Johnson weaves the story of the devotion with Cuban history, memories of her homeland, tales of her journey back to Cuba for the first time since her childhood during the Pope's visit in 2015. She is a darling. Is that a word? That's a word, but I mean, is that a way of putting that? She's just darling. Her stories are, they draw you right in, and they make you feel like you know her your whole life, and they really do inspire you to think about your own faith, your own devotion to our Blessed Mother, your own journey towards Christ through our Blessed Mother. And I even like the way that she explains that in the book, you know, about having this devotion and how our Blessed Mother, her whole, it's not about worshiping her or turning to her, but every mother who cherishes their child wants you to know them, wants you to, is proud of them and excited to introduce them to people. I know, like this weekend, you know, having my boys and my daughter with me and my husband during all of our beautiful ceremonies through the ordination, through the first mass, through our gatherings, both here and at our church. It was really wonderful to be like proudly say, this is my son. This is what he's doing. Now, if my son was savior of the world, I'd be even more, excuse me, even more excited and more wanting to share him. And that's what Mary wants to do with us. She wants to share her son so that we may grow closer to him. Excuse me. And I'm going to let Maria tell you more about the actual devotion to Our Lady of Charity and let her tell that story on Thursday, 9 a.m. when she joins us. I'm going to jump into this Mary Seeks Us. I'm on chapter 2. When I think of Mary and the visitation, Maria writes, I can't help but smile. So much is happening in that encounter. And I love the word that she uses, encounter. Because when I think about growing in faith, I truly think about encounters with Christ, encounters with the saints, encounters with our Blessed Mother. Each one of those encounters not only draws you closer to heaven and to them, but it never leaves you the same person. And I think that is such a remarkable idea. If you think about that, that every encounter you have with Jesus Christ, you're never the same again. And that encounter is something as simple as a prayer, participating in the sacraments, going to mass, confession, even just calling upon your baptismal promises, that grace to prayer, and reading the scriptures or reading holy reading and bringing Jesus to mind, contemplating your relationship with him, contemplating how you can grow in relationship with him. Those are all encounters with Christ, and you're never the same person again. And that's like, wow, mind-blowing, totally crazy, mind-blowing. On the surface, Maria continues, Mary is visiting with her cousin in what would surely be a lovely stay filled with joy and laughter, support and comfort, and very likely work and sacrifice to help Elizabeth get ready for the birth of her long-awaited child. But that view barely scratches the surface. Mary is, in that moment, the first evangelist, someone who brings the message and love of Christ to others as she brings Jesus to her cousin's household, like physically brings Jesus to her cousin's household. And I think about that being a Eucharistic minister and going to visit the house, the homebound, the elderly, the ill. Like you are physically, that you are reenacting that visitation. You are bringing Jesus to another to encounter him. That's how I see it anyway. At any point, if you have any thoughts or comments or things you want to share about what we're talking today, please feel free to throw it in the comments. If you're not listening live, you can put them in the comments on my website, reconciletoyou.com. This will be posted as a podcast, obviously, in Breadbox Media, podbean.com. You can find us there and all over wherever podcasts are shared. And of course, you can come back here to Facebook, Reconcile to You /Allison Gingras, and leave your comments. I always check back. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, I love the conversation. So please join in at any time. So she brings Jesus to her cousin, to her household. This intimate scene, small as it seems, is actually explosive in scope, Maria continues. Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. Elizabeth declares her wonder and joy as she and her child are touched by the Holy Spirit. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, this is from Luke 1, 41 to 44. The infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment of the sound of your greeting reached my ears, my infant leapt in my womb." Again, that's Luke 1, 41 through 44. To encounter the Blessed Virgin Mary is to encounter Christ after all. And also she goes on to say, Mary is present with us always. And I think about just a little bit about that encounter at that visitation. One thing I had never thought of until I saw this image, and I don't even know who painted it, but it was so remarkable. It was Elizabeth like on a porch. I mean, we're talking the Holy Land. It wasn't really a porch, but they had her like on this porch. And Zechariah is right behind her, watching over her, protecting her. And then coming up towards them, towards their home, Mary. And right behind Mary is Joseph. So you have these Old Testament Holy Family, this New Testament Holy Family, this coming, like almost like this bridge, and there wasn't a bridge in the picture, but this is how I always pitch it. I'm sure I learned it somewhere. I'm sure it's not just Allison's Allison's theology. But if you think about it, here we have this bridge of Zechariah and Elizabeth and St. John the Baptist from the Old Testament bridging into the New. We have the new family, Holy Family, with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And the fact that Mary wouldn't have gone to visit alone, that Joseph would have been there. He would have been there from the beginning, protecting her, watching over her. I absolutely love the image of Saint Joseph. I'm sure most people do. I also love how quiet he is. Perfect husband. I know I make that joke all the time, but it never ceases to stop me cracking up. Hi, Joe. Thanks for joining us today. That we have this perfect husband who doesn't say a word. Thank you, St. Joseph. Perfect model for my husband. He has a great devotion to St. Joseph. Oh, my gosh. I just realized I had the card. This is his deacon card right here with St. Joseph with the baby. And I love their halos kind of make a heart. And then on the back it says, Reverend Kevin P. Jinkris, craziness. And this is one of Kevin's favorite Bible verses, Matthew 4, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men, because he likes to fish. Oh, and he likes Jesus and he wants to bring people closer to Jesus. Going on into the book, we're talking today about Our Lady of Charity, how a Cuban devotion to Mary helped me grow in faith and love, by Maria Maria Johnson from Ave Maria Press. I don't think I mentioned that yet. Of course, you can get these always through your local Catholic bookstore. Always go there first. We want to support our small business. We want to support Catholic books. If they don't have it, they can get it. Though this Maria Johnson's books, I'm sure you'll find at every Catholic bookstore. This is her third. She's a best-selling author. This is out from Ave Maria Press. I don't think you'll have any trouble finding Our Lady of Charity. You can also get them from AveMariaPress.com and, of course, on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you buy them online. I liked this next chapter that I wanted to talk about. Maria talks about her Cuban-American history. Stories from her parents and her grandparents, she writes, were often the best connection we had to our Cuban heritage. My dearest friend from high school developed a trivia board game with her siblings called Amia Cuba, or Oh My Cuba. Told you, really bad Spanish coming from this woman. They named the game after an expression their grandmother used, part lament, part sigh, part longing for the old days. It was a multi-generational game that covered Cuban history, language, popular culture, and idioms. It even included the Cuban-American experience in Miami. The game was fun, but impossible to win alone. Mostly, it opened up the gaming party to an evening of reminiscing and storytelling. And as I was thinking about this idea of, good morning, Alana, this idea of heritage, of your heritage, I think that even if you're not a Cuban American, most of the people that I know, I don't know if it's because it's the Northeast, we all kind of consider ourselves our culture, our country of origin as part of, like, I was born in America, but I consider myself Portuguese. My family is 100% Portuguese from the Azores. I know people from Portugal would consider me Azorean, but I consider myself Portuguese. That's how I grew up. And we were very entrenched here, especially growing up in our Portuguese culture. Sundays were family gatherings with our Portuguese roasts, sweetbread, which I miss tremendously now that I'm gluten-free. I remember eating what's called cebulish, which is pickled onions with sweetbread smothered in real butter, and not touching my grandmother's amazing Portuguese roast, which if I had known now, it's quite funny. But, you know, this is kind of how we shared these things, these few, in my family, anyway, in my case, the few words in Portuguese that I knew. My grandparents had decided that it was much better to not teach me Portuguese so they could talk behind my back. So the kids never learned Portuguese. I don't think my mother knew Portuguese. Anyway, so it's a lost language for my family, but a lot of the history isn't, but the food and those memories and trying to keep them alive as the tradition, as the families grow older. And I think that's true of our Catholic faith, our Catholic traditions. We share the same kind of structure. There is food, and there are stories, and there are language and words and idioms and all of these different structures and beautiful elements of tradition that go with our Catholic faith. And I mean, that's not exactly the point of this chapter, but this was absolutely what came to mind as I was reading Our faith defined us, Maria writes. Our Lady of Charity became a symbol of all those things. Family was the source of everything, providing for our basic needs, our education, our faith. Of all the crimes perpetrated by the Castro regime, the most damaging is how the regime broke apart families. This fracture in the family dynamic was often the result not of animosity, but rather of the chasm of distance and blocked communication. And really, maybe I'm just digging, but again, I see this kind of the division in the family of the Catholic Church, the miscommunications, the misinformation, the separation, the distance, the busyness that this world creates that keeps us from coming together on that Sunday, that regular Sunday visit. My family hasn't done Sunday dinners in a long time, but as a kid, that was all you did. Everything shut down, and we all met together every single Sunday. The whole family, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents from both sides, everybody came together at one house, squished to the guild, food everywhere, celebration, sharing the stories. And is that not our Mass? Coming together on a Sunday, everyone's invited to the table. There is food. There's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ that fills us like no Portuguese roast could. But yet, because of the world and the way that it is kind of going, we're seeing less and less come to this feast, this beautiful gift that our Mother and our Savior, Lord, our Lord Savior, provide for us, this coming together of family every week in the Eucharist. I don't know your thoughts on that. I'd love to hear it. If you see that, if you're like, Allison, you have gone over the deep end and you are digging. You're just digging for things to talk about now, girlfriend. But I really just, I didn't grow up with church. So this is, I grew up with family, but I didn't grow up with church. And so this is all new to me. And I want more of the history. I want more. I love talking to people who have reading the saints. Is probably why I love reading the saints so much, because there's that, those stories, the heritage, the stuff that's been lost, I can regain through reading that. I spoke earlier about encounter, and that again is in here in Maria's story. Encounter isn't that what the Blessed Mother wants for all her children, to encounter her son. Pope Francis's visit also had an element of filial love that is reflected in the gift he took to the Blessed Mother in El Combre. I'm not even close to that. I'm not even sure if I'm close to that. C-O-B-R-E. The Pope is known to bring the Blessed Mother flowers at the Basilica of St. Mary Major when he returns to Rome. Is that not the sweetest gesture ever? And I did not know that. It is a tender offering from a son. These words from a recent New Year's Day homily are not just good advice, but an exhortation. Devotion to Mary is not spiritual etiquette. It is a requirement of the Christian life. The gift of the mother, the gift of every mother and every woman, is most precious for the church, for she too is woman and mother. If our faith is not to be reduced merely to an idea or a doctrine, all of us need a mother's heart, one which knows to keep the tender love of God and to feel the heartbeat of all around us, to feel the heartbeat of all around us. Maria continues, I was moved to see the fresh flowers that Pope Francis placed at the altar of the statue of the Virgin of Charity. I was moved a second time to see them in a vase the next day when I had the opportunity to visit the shrine after he departed for the United States. But Pope Francis left another gift of flowers, this one a little more enduring, as he brought the Virgin a silver vase filled with porcelain flowers in yellow and white. Oh, I love that. Like, that idea is just, these three visits, and I believe, since I'm skipping, and I actually have I've only kind of skimmed through the book because the ordination kept me a little busy. Yes, so she's talking about the three visits of three popes. Benedict on May 10th, Benedict the 15th, proclaimed her. I don't know. I'm not going to try to guess who these three visits are. I'm thinking that was wrong. But anyway, I'm just going to say these three visits of a message of the truth and hope, a pilgrim of charity, and the missionary of mercy acknowledge and pay tribute to both the spirit and the suffering of the Cuban people. Our Lady of Charity bound them all together, and even though the visit spanned two decades and three papacies, it was three popes, I was right, the constant was the Blessed Mother, who has been present to the Cuban people for more than 400 years. And I bet if you look at your own heritage, there is some image of our Blessed Mother that your people, your country, your nationality holds dear. Portuguese, so you know where I'm going, or Lady of Fatima. But I'm going to be honest, and I think this is an idea that I'd love, again, for us to is to think about, how do you connect with Our Lady? What is the image, the apparition, the which one speaks to your heart? And also in the book, Maria talks about how Our Lady seeks us. And I feel like with Our Blessed Mother, this is kind of what happened with me. As a Portuguese person, I've always known the story of Our Lady of Fatima. My grandmother very much had the statues all over the house, and we didn't really talk much about it. I only knew the scary parts, you know, the visions of hell, and telling the little boy who was like seven, I think, that he was going to need to do many, many beads to make it to heaven. And I thought, if this little shepherd kid needs to do many, many beads to get to heaven, I'm in serious trouble, probably still in serious trouble. But in being sought by Our Blessed Mother, it was definitely Our Lady of Guadalupe. I know sometimes I repeat a lot of my stories, and I apologize for that, but sometimes I think, well, one, it's a cool story, and I want to say it again. Two, not everybody's a repeat listener, or maybe you were listening the first time, and just as I told the story, the dog barked. So there, covering all my bases and why I repeat myself a million times. But I think this story, especially because I have the bag here I just found, was worth sharing with you. So I went to Adoration right before I went on a trip to Nebraska, Scotts Bluff. And I always pray for protection. You know, I'm a nervous wreck, anxiety disorder, blah, blah, blah. Always need God's protection. So I went and I was praying in Adoration, and we have a statue just to the left of the altar, and it's Our Blessed Mother. It's actually the Fatima statue. And all of a sudden I felt like this inspiration. Like, I don't hear voices. Like, when I feel like the Holy Spirit or the Blessed Mother is speaking to me, it's an inspiration, not really like a voice. But the inspiration that day was really strong, and it was from Our Blessed Mother, and it was this inspiration to consecrate Reconcile Team Ministries to her under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I was like, well, that's a weird thing to come to my mind. Because the one I really would have thought of would have been Our Lady of Grace, because what do I talk about all the time? The grace trifecta, right? I talk about living a life of grace. And I love the image of Our Lady of Grace with her arms spread out, with the rays coming out between her out of her fingers. And then there's dark rays between. And she said, that's all the grace God has that nobody's asked for. I just love that image. But nope, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I'm like, okay, Blessed Mother, I can do that, but I don't know how. And I just felt like this piece of, don't worry, I got it. So off I went to speak, and that morning, that weekend, I gave a talk. I was there all day talking about Our Blessed Mother and how she teaches us how not to worry and how to follow her son and what a great disciple she is and how she teaches us to be evangelizers. And at the end of the talk, this beautiful woman came up to me with just this beaming smile, and she just shared that she and her group were of Mexican descent. They actually had brought an interpreter with them that was helping them understand. And they teased me, excuse me while I get the bag, they teased me that they loved how fast I spoke, which was very sweet. And then she handed me this beautiful bag. Yep, see? Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then on this side, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. And I remembered my little encounter. The card's not in here. I remembered that little encounter at Adoration. So I was very moved. I got very tearful. And I thought this was like the sign from our Blessed Mother. Like, wow, that doesn't ever happen to me. I don't get gifts when I speak. This was very unique and different. And it just really touched my heart. So I get back to the hotel that night and something, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fold it up and put it away. And someone just told me before I folded it up to look inside. And as I looked inside first, there was rosary beads, which was very funny because I had forgotten mine. And my husband had said, take my rosary beads. But he had this giant wooden set, you know, man size. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't even fit in my purse. I'm like, no, I'm good. And I actually said out loud to him, I'm not worried about it. Our Blessed Mother will give me some new rosary beads. If I'm supposed to have them, she'll take care of it. And there they were. And then the most remarkable part of that whole story is that in that bag as well was a little card, just a tiny little card that said, thank you so much for this day, you know, and how it inspired them and encouraging me to continue in my ministry work. And then in Spanish, it said, we are entrusting, consecrating your ministry to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, I guess that's how you consecrate your ministry. You don't do anything. You just let Our Blessed Mother do it, right? Crazy, as my daughter would say, mouth drop. Wow. And I felt in that moment, as I, you can imagine, the tears just pouring down my face. Because I felt in that moment loved by a mother like I had never been loved before. I love my mom, and I know she loves me, but our relationship isn't loving. It's not close. It's not, she's not somebody I go to for advice. She's not somebody I seek for advice or help with my faith or encouragement in my faith or as a mom or anything. Thanks, Alana. Alana said, I love this story. So to try to understand Mary as mother has always been very difficult for me. Like, what does a loving mother look like? What does a healthy mother-daughter relationship feel like? How do you relate to mother? What does she do? I had no idea. But in that moment, I felt like I started to understand what a loving mother does. She takes care of needs that you kind of know you have, but before you have to do it, she watches over you. She prays for you. She protects you as the best she can. And it just overwhelmed me, that gift that she gave me in that moment to come into my heart, into my life as mother. And I know Jesus had given me her from the cross to be my mother. But finally, 50 years later, for me anyway, I discovered what it really meant to have her as mother. And to open up that relationship and to reach out more, speak more, pray more through her. Now, I'd always, and Maria writes this in the book too, kind of, that might even be where I am. Nope, this is in procession, it's more later. She talks about how, she venerated Mary as Mother of God and certainly considered her to be a powerful intercessor. I knew her as the greatest of all saints. Certainly my devotion to Mary as Our Lady of Charity offered me ample opportunities to ponder the Blessed Virgin under many of her titles with a special affection to her as Chiquita, my Virgencita. Well, that was the worst Spanish ever. The problem of seeing Mary in this light was the limitations it imposed. I She put Mary in little boxes and little compartments, compartmentalized. There, I said it just really, really low. Mary into whatever my needs were. She was patroness of many things and an intercessor for many more. In my limited faith, I saw Blessed Mother as merely the provider of my many needs. Yes, 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 yes. Hi, Mary Ellen. I saw Mary as the need, like I saw her kind of, I remember being told as, so in the Portuguese, in my family, in the Portuguese tradition, I was pretty much told that if you have something you really want Jesus to do for you, then you go to our Blessed Mother because she cannot, he can't say no to his mother. So you have to hold those prayers for something special. Like you don't just go ask Mary for everything. You only ask her when you really, really need whatever it is you need. Seriously, that's what I was taught. So I kind of held Mary, and I was reading this, like I kind of had this memory and like aha moment. Like I had this very immature idea, and Maria writes that. Again, we're talking about Our Lady of Charity, Maria Johnson, Ave Maria Press. This very limited understanding, excuse me, of Mary and how you pray to her. And to me, it was like if I had a, was like, I had a big knee, like I held her at a bay and didn't pray or didn't turn to her. And I, if I had a big need, that was it. Pull out the Mary, pull out the Mary card, pull out the rosary beads. It's time to pray and ask Mary for help. But I didn't have a relationship. I kind of did this with Jesus too. I didn't have a relationship. I didn't know how to interact with her. I didn't, I was really just really immature about my prayer life. I'm so sorry about that. Not only am I getting over a cold, but I'm also dealing with high pollen counts, and I forgot to take my allergy medicine. Guess what I'm doing when I finish, besides eating, because I just said I was starving. After all this talk about the, all the Portuguese food, of course, I don't think I have any Portuguese food anymore in my house, but some good kale soup would taste very good right about now. But like Maria, I really had this very immature faith, and I had to work on building a relationship with Mary, for seeing her for who she is, for who God had given us her for, this model of faith, this model of evangelization, this model of discipleship, all of those beautiful things that Mary is. I had only looked at her as like my my magic genie lamp. Like, I'm just going to rub this genie lamp. I'm just going to say this Mary prayer when I'm in need so that I can get what I want from God and kind of manipulate the situation. Not how that works, not how any of that works. And I really love on page 89, again, in Our Lady of Charity, Maria writes, one of my favorite scriptural references, the story of the wedding at Cana in the Gospel of John. And that's John 2, 1 through 12, if you want to read it for yourself, shows this scripture reference shows us a confident and assertive Mary, both as mother to Jesus and as a disciple. As a mother, she presses her son for what she knows should be done in the circumstances. As a disciple, she shows us firsthand how to completely put her trust in him. She tells the stewards at the wedding, do whatever he tells you, John 2, 5. Mary speaks those words to us too. Do what he says. Sometimes I need my Heavenly Mother to repeat those words to me again and again and again. And that's one of the things I love about being a part of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. That is the, that verse, John 2, 5, do whatever he tells you, is how WINE was born. That example of her as disciple, as evangelist, of going out and sharing Jesus with others at that moment, in that moment where she's asking Jesus to turn the water. Well, she wasn't saying to turn the water into wine. She was just saying, Jesus, there is a need. These people need you to help them. And there's a, I think it was Dr. Edward Shree who actually talks about that moment. There's so much more happening. Mary isn't just saying, Jesus, you need to fix this problem. She's saying, it's time. It's time to begin what you have been called to do. And when he says to her, woman, how is this a concern to me? He's also acknowledging to her, Mary, do you know what you're asking? When I do this miracle, when I reveal to the world who I am, you'll never be the same again. I'm not going to go home with you and be your Jesus and be all yours. She in that moment, oh my gosh, she's making me cry. She in that moment was saying, son, I give you to the world. Like I'm making that sacrifice because the world needs you. Not just this family who is out of wine, but this world that's out of out of hope sometimes, out of faith, out of trust. This world needs you. And for us, the lesson is, how do we encounter Jesus? How do we have that moment where we are refilled, we thirst for that hope, we thirst for that that peace? How do we have that? We turn to Jesus and we just do whatever he tells us. If he tells us to go at 12:30 and do your hair and your makeup and get on Facebook Live and talk about his awesome mother, what you do? If he tells you to teach religious education again for your 30th year, even though you are like, I don't want to do this anymore, you keep doing it. He tells us to go to Mass to receive his body and his blood, soul and divinity. Receive it. We go and we're fed by word and by the Eucharist. If we're told to love that most unlovable person again, because it is good for our soul, but more importantly, it is good for them, we do it. Do whatever he tells you. Our Lady of Charity, Our Lady of Love, we are called to follow her in all of the beautiful ways she has been shown to us by God. Our Lady of Mercy, Perpetual Help, of Good Counsel, of Love, all these different ways. Like, just to, if you ever seen the litany of Mary, like, you know she's known by quite a few names. She models for us everything we could ever possibly encounter. How do we react? How do we continue to grow closer to God and not let this world separate us with all the things that happen and that we need to deal with? One of the parts I'm going to end with now is the different devotions. Maria talks about the different devotions, and two of them that she ends Our Lady of Charity with is the Rosary and consecration to Jesus through Mary. I stink at the Rosary. Father Peyton is like my head of my Saint posse. I love the guy. I have all over my desk rocks that I have, with permission, with permission, borrowed from his gravesite. I share them with people. They're just like the prayer rocks. I'm not covered. There's not hundreds of them. Literally, there's just a little tiny bag of them. But I go and I pray and I take these rocks. In fact, when Father Peyton is now venerable, becomes blessed, and they move him into the beautiful museum and shrine they're making for him, I'm going to be sad not to have all these beautiful keepsakes, but I digress. So I love the Rosary, and I love the prayers of the Rosary, but I stink at it. I'm just not good. I think it requires a little bit more sacrifice on Allison's part, a little bit more tenacity, just really giving myself over that this is something I'm called to do and I want to do. Because when I finish the Rosary, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, right? When St. Paul talks about that peace that surpasses understanding, nothing is like praying the Rosary to give you that. Well, spending time in adoration, number one, gives you that peace, but praying the Rosary is pretty close. And the other thing I started in 2013 was a consecration to Jesus through Mary. And if you're following Reconciled Tea Ministries, especially here on Facebook, you know we're on day 23 of our 33 days to our consecration on, of all things, the Visitation. I just thought of that as we were talking. And I'm doing my reconsecration, but every day I've been posting a little bit from the book we're using this time. We've done it before with 33 Days to Morning Glory from Father Gately, but this time we're using Father Hugh Gillespie's book from Montfort Publications, The True Devotion. It's just, he takes scripture each day in a little bite-sized piece of de Montfort's writings in a question for you to ponder and consider. And it's been a very fruitful reconsecration for me. And I think that this is devotion that I have to keep redoing because I haven't yet feel like I've done it correctly yet. I am giving myself completely to marry to her, to give to her son. Like, I'm not consecrating myself to Mary, it's consecrating myself to Jesus, giving myself to Jesus through his mother. Like, she's presenting me to him. She, one of the lessons that people have a hard time with is that through consecration, you are agreeing to give all your merits from your prayers to Mary for her to disseminate how she sees fit. And people get very worried about that. Well, I have to pray for so-and-so. And if I don't pray for them, like, I promise I pray for them. Yes, pray for them. You absolutely pray for them. But the idea that when you, someone said to me, well, but when I die, I have to have all these merits to give to Jesus or I can't get into heaven. And I thought, and this is what's taught in the consecration. There's nothing that I can do. There's no merit I can earn, no grace I can fill myself with that's going to get me in heaven better than showing up at the door with Mary and having Mary say, Jesus, let me introduce you to my friend, Allison. Like, there's the merit. There's the greatest thing, gift, grace you can give yourself is to have a relationship with Mary, is to pray the rosary, is to turn to her intercession, to know her, to try to follow the amazing example that she is, to do whatever he tells you. Because I can't imagine a better introduction to Jesus in my death, in that moment of, this is a sign for present, like in his presence, boom, right there, face to face, than having Mary with me saying, this is my friend, my beloved, not even my friend. Let's be honest. She's going to say, this is my daughter, Allison. This is my son, Jesus, your savior. Nice to meet you, Jesus. She has, you know, and she will know all, I mean, he already knows everything I've done, but to bring all of those merits and to answer back, and we're going to wrap it up with a prayer, to answer back those prayers that you're like, well, I need to pray for so-and-so. Mary has been given such a gift as the mediatrix to heaven for us. She knows more than anyone who needs what prayers. And so while I may think my friend needs these prayers, Lord, the Lord may have already taken care of that, but my prayers would be better served somewhere else, maybe with somebody who doesn't have someone to pray for them. And what a gift that is to give when you say unselfishly, I'm going to pray, but heaven, you take care of where these go. I mean, I think that's part of the humbling of ourselves, which is so hard, very hard to do, to humble yourself, especially in prayer, and think, I mean, I'm always trying to give God the game plan. Like, I know better than you, God. Like, here's how I think it should go down. It's like, it's not how it works. It's not how any of this works. God knows best. And we've been given this great gift of a mother who also knows best. You know, we say father knows best. Mother always knows best. And as a mom, I know that when I have something real, my kids have something kind of difficult or important to say to their dad, I always say, let me talk to dad first. Let me smooth this over for you first. So to have that intercessor, and that's all that she is. She's an intercessor, a mediatrix, a mom who loves you, a mom who cares, a mom who wants to see you together with God forever in heaven, because that's what you're created for. You're created to love, know, and serve God in this world and in the next. That's it. It's a pretty good plan. We complicate it. Our world complicates it. We get lost. But we just need to do whatever he tells you and to turn to one of the greatest models of faith that we have, our Blessed Mother. On Thursday, I will have Maria Johnson here to talk firsthand about Our Lady of Charity and let her tell all the wonderful stories about Our Lady of Charity, about her visit to Cuba, about her incredible childhood and the separation of her family and just in the inspiration of her family to stay together even after the communism had separated them for a very long time. You're going to want to stay tuned in Thursday, 9 a.m. right here on Reconcile to You. And then it will be over on Breadbox Media, the podcast afterwards. You don't want to miss it. Let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear good and gracious God, we are so grateful for the gift of your mother, of our mother, Mary, Our Lady of Charity, Our Lady of Grace, Our Lady of Hope, the mediatrix of all grace. Lord, we ask you to send down your Spirit upon each and every one of us. Inspire our hearts to know and love you more, to follow devotions that grow our faith, the grace outpoured in us, that we may be strengthened in our resolve to be with you today and forever. Amen. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for joining me. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.